Good morning.
Good morning.
What a wonderful time of the year it is. We're excited. Welcome to everyone to the Asbury United Methodist Church worship service at 10:45. We're very glad you're here this morning. If we have any guests, we're also very glad that you've joined us. We welcome you, and we hope that you enjoy and you're blessed with the Lord. We're so thankful you're here with us today. We do have attendance pads at the end of each pew. We ask that everyone complete that so we'll have accurate numbers for our district office, but most especially because we want to recognize your visit with us. So a few announcements before we start our worship service. The bulletin has a page in it for announcements. I'm going to call attention to a few. We're very, very thankful to everyone that participated in the family-to-family food drive. We provided 172 families through our generosity. So that is a blessing of the Lord that we can reach out to the community and help those families. The Advent Family Life Dinner is this evening, 5 to 6:30. The church is providing the meat. We ask everyone to bring a side dish or a dessert. There will be great music, and you will want to bring your camera because pictures with Santa is priceless. You going to have your picture made, Brother Doug? Oh, you're not? Oh, okay. This Tuesday, December 4th, at noon, is a Central High Jazz Band will be playing their annual concert here at Asbury. This is sponsored with the terrific Tuesday hosting the program. It's great music and great fun. Please plan to attend. The Asbury Children Ministries will be collecting hats, gloves, socks, blankets for our friends at Stone Soup Homeless Ministry. Please place your donations under the tree in the children's area. Donations will be taken to Stone Soup on Sunday, December 23rd. So we have from now till December 23rd to provide those donations. On this first Sunday of Advent, Pastor Mary and Doug will begin a special Advent message series, The Magical Movies of Christmas. We all have our favorite Christmas music movies. We'll see if we match up with the pastors. Come enjoy these fun and insightful messages. Look in the bulletin. There's plenty of opportunities. Our church is very alive. It's a wonderful season. So take note of the opportunities and things we have here at Asbury during this Advent season. At this time, I please ask you to greet each other and pass the peace of Christ. Thank you. Please stand as we go to the call to worship, and I will have one correction. The concert on Tuesday from the Central High Jazz Band is at 11:30 instead of 12. 11:30, I think the bulletin indicates 12. Let's open our hearts as we begin our worship now with a call to worship. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God.
We have waited for him that he might save us."
This is the Lord. We have waited for him.
Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation.
Our hymn this morning, O come, Emmanuel, number 211. It's verses 1, 2, 4, and 7.
We'll be reading from Hebrews 10:23 and 6:19. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We have a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, our hope in Jesus Christ. We light this candle as a symbol of Christ, our steadfast hope in our personal salvation. Jesus Christ is our hope in life when we find ourselves facing a world of despair. Let the light of your hope and belief in Jesus Christ as Savior of all be your counsel and guide this season and forevermore. Please join us in the congregational prayer response. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our hope eternal. As we share Christ with others, may each find their hope in him, now and forevermore. In Christ's name, Amen.
Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who you was. Didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. Our eyes was blind, we couldn't see. We didn't know who you was. Long time ago, you was born in a manger low, sweet little Jesus boy. The world treat you mean, Lord, treat you mean too. But please, sir, forgive us, Lord. We didn't know 'twas you. Sweet little Jesus boy, born long time ago. Sweet little holy child, and we didn't know who
time. We'll have children come for the children's service.
Any bigger kids want to join us today? Today's message is about hope. Have you ever had to wait for anything? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's it like waiting for things? Is it hard? It's hard. But we hope whatever we're waiting for is going to come, right? So we call this time a time of Advent. Any guesses of what that word might mean? That's a strange word, Advent. Any guesses? Well, if we look it up in the dictionary, it says the coming of something important. You think of what we were waiting for, the coming of something important for this month? What's going to happen later this month?
Christmas?
Yeah. And what does Christmas represent for us? Jesus' birthday, exactly. And Santa, we're waiting on Santa, yes. So when we are waiting all this month, we're kind of remembering back before Jesus was born and all the people were waiting for him to come, and we celebrate that, and we remember their waiting time. Now, he also promised us something else. What else did he promise us? He promised us that he was going to come back for us. So they were waiting back then, and he came. And now we're also in a time of waiting. We're waiting for him to come back. What are some things we can do while we're waiting? We can pray. What else can we do while we wait? Yes, ma'am. We can have fun, absolutely. And we can also have hope that he will come and he'll do as he says. Yes? Yeah. So let's go into a little prayer. We just want to make sure that back then, they're waiting for Jesus to come, and we celebrate that at the end of this month for Christmas and this time of waiting, and we're going to continue to wait with hope that he's going to come again. Okay, let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for keeping your promise and coming to us. And thank you for giving us a promise that you will come again. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
This morning, as we enter a time of prayer, we remember those named in our bulletin on the prayer request: Charlie Ward Sr., Janet Brandt, Larry Brown, Mary Jane Patton, Anita Curtis, Linda Sutton and her family on the death of her mother, and Joe and Patty Wilkerson on the death of their daughter, Helen Albright. We also have a prayer of thanksgiving for answered prayer with Marilyn Thompson and Bob returned to us this morning. Please join me as we pray. Our most loving and heavenly Father, we pray this morning for your holy presence in this place. Fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit, so we can be lifted in our own spirit to a place beyond our comprehension, into your very throne room. We boldly come before you only because of what Jesus did for us, dying for our sins, restoring the relationship between you and your people. Today we light the Advent candle of hope. Hope can be placed in great many things of this earth, in wealth, in jobs, in health, and in people. But there is one place we can fix our hope upon, that which will never fail, and that is your Son, Jesus Christ. Our hope is today, so we honor you even more than yesterday. Our hope is in tomorrow, when we may reach someone who needs to hear your good news. Lord, our hope is eternal, where we will sing praises to you forever and live in the place prepared just for us. Help us to fix our eyes and our hearts on you, so you can fill us with a hope today, tomorrow, and forever. All of these things we pray in your name, Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come forward, this is a season to remember our blessings, the gifts of God that that started so many years ago in a manger. We have hope today because the Lord came to save us. Remember that, and remember those in need during this season as we lift them up. Please join me in prayer. Our great provider, we humbly return a portion of the blessings you have bestowed upon you people. May we trust in you more each day as you fulfill your promises in every one of us. Bless these tithes and offerings that we give today, Lord, for your work and your world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please remain standing for a hymn of meditation, O Little Town of Bethlehem, number 230.
Oh, Thank you. Please be seated. The series that Pastor Mary and I are going to be preaching through is the magical movies of Christmas. You think of White Christmas. It's a Wonderful Life. I would probably bet that nobody thought of Home Alone. Now, for those who haven't seen this movie, I'll describe it to you in just a few short sentences. It's a hilarious comedy set in New York City around Christmas time. Kevin is the main character, and he is an 8-year-old boy who gets picked on by everyone in his family and extended family because he just can't seem to get a break. He just doesn't get things right. Well, the family has planned this great big trip, the main family and extended, to Paris, France. And all of the stress that goes with packing and getting ready the night before they were supposed to leave, all of the family is sitting in the dining room. The clamoring and back and forth across the table and too much drinks, too many Pepsi, stuff like that. Kevin walks in, oblivious. He is alone in that world. He walks through, he walks over and looks at an empty box and says, "Who ate my cheese pizza?" Well, Buzz, his older brother, quite a bit taller than him, is the master picker of Kevin. And he said, "Well, I guess if you want some cheese pizza, we're just going to have to get a plate so everybody can barf up theirs." Don't mean to be graphic on you. Kevin goes berserk. He has pushed his limit, so what's he do? He pushes Buzz, and he attacks him, and Buzz falls against the counter, milk and soft drinks go everywhere, all over the countertop and onto the floor. Everybody stands up. They're brushing themselves off, wiping up the floor. And Kevin's mother walks over and grabs him. He's blamed for the whole thing. He's banished to his room. She says, "Say goodnight, Kevin." And he says, "Goodnight, Kevin." And off to his room he goes. Well, lying in his bed, they're still awake and probably still dreaming about his cheese pizza, Kevin makes a Christmas wish. He said, "I wish my family would just all disappear." And he nods off to sleep. Now, the next morning, the whole family sleeps through all of their alarms, and when the doorbell rings and the airport shuttle's there, they all go berserk. They're running all over each other like a bunch of Keystone Cops. They all pile into the airport shuttle and off they go. And that attitude carries right onto the plane until they figure out Kevin's not with them. Kevin wakes up. He must have been a heavy sleeper. But he wakes up. He doesn't hear anything. He doesn't see anything. He goes through the house calling for his whole family. And all of a sudden, it dawns on him, my wish came true. He parties. I mean, he goes and he makes popcorn. He takes it, he starts jumping up and down on everybody's bed, and popcorn's flying everywhere. So what's a kid, an 8-year-old boy, going to do? He's going to have ice cream for breakfast. And that's exactly what he does. He goes down and he turns on the TV. He watches as much TV as his little heart desires. Little did Kevin know that this celebration would come to an end when robbers began casing the entire neighborhood looking for houses to break into. And Kevin's house was the target. That is the movie. And if you've never seen it before, go rent it. I don't want to do a spoiler alert on you to tell you how it ends. Bethlehem, Home Alone in Bethlehem, the city was a little bit like Kevin's house, bustling with activity at this time of year. There was a promise made to it of greatness. Greatness in what was going to happen in the future as prophesied. There was a promise of unity among the entire nation of Israel. And a promise misunderstood by all but a few on that one special day. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn to the book of Micah, one of the lesser prophets. We're going to be reading out of chapter 5, beginning in verse 2. And I just pray that you are blessed by the reading of God's word this morning. Micah 5, 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. The word of God for the people of God. We're going to concentrate on that little town of Bethlehem this morning. Bethlehem, literally translated, means house of bread. House of bread. And it was once the center of the nation of Israel. It was hometown to many people in the Old Testament that we read about. The most notable, King David. He was born there. And as a young boy, he was the shepherd over flocks owned by his father. David was anointed there by the high priest Samuel to be the eventual king over all of Israel. He had the center of his kingdom in the city of Bethlehem. At one time, Bethlehem was a thriving metropolis under his rule. But when Israel was conquered and carried off into captivity, Bethlehem almost ceased to exist. It went from one of greatness to, as the scripture we read this morning, a humble, small little village just about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. Here is a town of greatness, the center of David's rule, and then it fell from power to almost nothing. All of us have experienced something similar to this in our lives. We've been a Bethlehem of sorts. Like Bethlehem, have you ever been on, as they say, on cloud nine, everything going your way, then all of a sudden, your world is turned upside down by something that for no logical reason. For those of us of many years, we can look back and see that this has probably happened in our lives, and quite possibly more than once. We thought our world was coming to an end, when all of a sudden, things changed. Can you think of a time like that? Just like the Israelites standing on the shore of the Red Sea after they were released from captivity, they're standing there looking at the sea, and behind them, the chariots of the Egyptians are bearing down on them. How are we going to get out of this, they thought. God came through by parting the waters. Or look at things from Isaac's point of view. He was bound by his father Abraham, and he was placed on an altar to be sacrificed. Just before Abraham's knife fell on him, God provided a sacrifice suitable in the place of Isaac. Some of you may have been students or are students. I know I was when I was in the military, because the S2 section, the intelligence section, was always the weather, in charge of the weather. And I noticed something. just before the sun comes up, just before it peaks up over the horizon, it's the coldest. Even though it's light, it's coldest part of the night. The first ray of light hits us, and we can feel the warmth of the sun against our face and against our hands if we stand outside. God seems to do some pretty awesome stuff when we think we can't go on anymore, when things look their darkest. To make it through the darkness, all we have to do is trust. Trust. Bethlehem is no different. No different. Once a great city, but it was now one of the smallest towns in Judah. God was getting ready to do something great in Bethlehem. After darkness had fallen on this town for centuries, all they had to do was trust in his promise spoken through the prophet Micah. We need to trust in his word. When God says he will never leave us or forsake us. Now we've heard that many, many times, but let me describe it to you, because actually there's two promises there. God said he will never leave us. God will walk right beside us constantly. That's part one. He's never going to leave us, but he's also not going to forsake us. Whatever we're going through, God is right there willing to help us through whatever we're going through. We don't have to deal with stuff all on our own. God can birth great things in our lives, just like a human Bethlehem, if you will, if we only trust and hope in him. Micah, in his words, also told the Israelites there's a promise of unity. In the movie Home Alone, ultimately, there is unity in the family when the whole family returns back to the house from their interrupted trip, only to find Kevin and the house were all fine. Kevin had redeemed himself by surviving, and he was viewed by all, even, yes, his older brother, Buzz, as having grown up just a little. Bethlehem was to be scattered by conquest, but a promise of unity was given. This unity was not going to occur with the entire nation coming back to Bethlehem and the city home to a king. Micah was telling them a king would be born in the city, a king to unite everyone. In verse 2, in the words of God, it says, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient of times. The nation had been promised a ruler would come from this humble little town. Everyone knew by the stories told from old that God had promised a king would be a descendant of David. We can all see Micah's prophecy. It's not talking about an earthly king. It's talking about Jesus. The nation that they thought he would come over and be a king once again to unite all the tribes and set Israel as the capital. That's what they thought with hearing Micah's words. They failed to see that Micah is describing the Messiah. We can't be too hard on the nation of Israel. Sometimes we have a little hard time seeing God at work in our lives. We worry, we think, we fret that God has abandoned us. What we've done, though, is fail to listen closely for him. One time in my life, Well, there's been a few times, but one time I can clearly remember, I was in such despair. I reached a point, kind of like Kevin, I fell down on my knees and I told God, I give up. I stopped trying to make things happen, force things to happen. And I asked God, please, you just handle things and I'll get out of the way. In my mind, his response was, ah, now, Doug, you're where you need to be, totally relying on me. Now, let me show you what I've got in mind for you. And boy, did he. When we think things are the darkest, we need to let God shine and warm things up just a little bit. Amen. When God has a plan for us, like he did with Bethlehem, we need to be patient and get out of his way. God promised the nation of Israel unity. God is also calling us, modern day Bethlehem, to unity. Unity in the faith and unity in purpose. We can be of one mind and one heart when we put Jesus first in all things. Lastly, I want to point out this little town of Bethlehem and how it's called the birthplace. The birthplace, not the home of Jesus. Mary and Joseph lived in a town of Nazareth. And if you go out and do research, it's about 100 miles north of Bethlehem. The census had been called, as we all know, and everyone had to return to their city of lineage to be counted. We could look in the first chapter of Matthew and we could step back in Jesus' lineage, and Joseph, his earthly father, was in the lineage of David. Therefore, they had to go to the city of David and take part in the census. Mary was in her last month of pregnancy. The trip was long and it was very hard. It's believed that they traveled in a caravan at that time for safety and camaraderie. I'm sure Joseph had a hard time keeping up with the caravan. It was hard on him, but it was hard on Mary as well. Things must have looked pretty dark for them. Well, they get to Bethlehem, and the town is not a little humble town anymore. It's overflowing with people, everybody coming there for the census. The town was so small, researchers said that there was probably only one hotel or one inn in the city. There was no room, more darkness. The stable was the only room. And the stables of old were usually carved out of rock or carved out of the side of the hill, not a pen, just as we think of a place for animals. Our Savior was born in that town, but soon after the census was taken, Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus traveled back north, made the trip back to Nazareth. Bethlehem was never promised to be the home of Jesus. But just like him, we were born into this world, but it's not our home either. If we look at Hebrews 13, verse 14, it says, "For this world is not our home. We are looking forward to an everlasting home in heaven." David, King David, was promised a descendant of his would sit on the throne of Israel. David, in his mind, saw an earthly kingdom. Bethlehem was promised a king would come from their city, but they saw their little town coming to greatness again, is what they saw. Israel was promised unity, but they saw the tribes being united, all 12 tribes united again under one king. Do you see how they all looked at things through their earthly eyes? The throne Micah is describing is not of this world, The city of greatness is not Bethlehem, but it will be the new Jerusalem. And the unity will be every knee bowing to the name of Jesus. At the beginning of this Advent season, let us all remember God does fulfill promises. The house of bread gave birth to the bread of life. Jesus has promised he has a place prepared for us when we go to our eternal home. But we have that home only because Jesus came to earth, was born as a helpless child, he grew to a man, and became our sacrifice. Like Isaac, God provided a holy sacrifice for us. If we follow his word, we believe in his promises, we will never be home alone. Wherever we are, we always have Jesus with us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our recession, excuse me, I'm reading down just a little bit. Our recessional hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, hymn number 196. I got that right? I'm looking at, okay, yes. My brain. Let us all stand, please, and sing, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. If you are visiting with this church today and you'd like to unite with this church, I'll meet you down front and pray with you. If you'd like to spend some time in prayer, talking to God about what he has in store for your life. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? Ask God. He will show you if you just get out of the way. I'll be happy to pray with you. Our prayer rows are open. So let us sing, please, hymn number 196. So good to be here with you this morning. We welcome visitors from Texas today. Angel's, as I thought there was his only friends in Texas, and they said, no, we're his only friends from anywhere. Sorry, man. I had to say it. Alyssa, where are you? There. Thank you so much. Thank you. And Kurt, beautiful, beautiful. Let's give them another hand, please. It's not just today. Diana has got some wonderful music planned for every service during this Advent season. You don't want to miss a single Sunday, and the 16th is going to be special. We're having one service on the 23rd, remember that, at 10 o'clock, and then on the 24th, we will have our three candlelight services on Christmas Eve. I hope that you've been blessed, not only by the message this morning, but by the singing, by the beautiful decorations here in the sanctuary. It is so good to be in Asbury this morning. Would you please bow and receive this blessing? Father, I thank you for everything that has happened this morning in the wonderful praises and worship and the music and of your people. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the prophecies of old that all came true in our Savior Jesus Christ being born to this earth for us. Father, help us to walk each and every day. Today, the hope that we can serve you more, the hope of tomorrow, and the hope of life eternal. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.